We hope to discuss today, at least begin the discussion today, of Eliyahu HaNavi, the personality who he is. And I hope to bring this out by doing key prakim in Tanakh, which bring out who is Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi happens to be a little seasonal here because, according to one opinion, as we'll see shortly, Eliyahu and Pinchas are actually the same person. So that would make this week Parshas Eliyahu. That would be one
really
reason.
The same or Gilgal?
No, really the same.
Oh, okay.
The assumption, as we'll see, the assumption is that he's a really old guy. It's interesting because I'll just say that Pinchas, even if he isn't Eliyahu, still lived for hundreds of years because Pinchas pops up by Yiftach in Shoftim, which is hundreds of years after he appears in the Torah. So whether he's Eliyahu and lived for thousands of years or merely hundreds of years, either way, he had Arichos Yom Vichanim. He had very good genes. We'll just leave it at that.
Jordash.
Only the best. The in order for us to really understand what's going on in this parak about Eliyahu, which is Malachim Aleph Yud Zayin, we actually have to start with the pasuk, the last pasuk in the previous parak. In order to do that, we're going to have to give a little bit of background. So, people are familiar, right? Marsha, you're familiar. Joshi fought the battle of the Jericho and the walls.
Yeah, the battle of Jericho.
And the walls?
King Tumlin.
That is correct. Thank you very much. So after said war with Jericho, Yoshua announced that that Jericho should never be rebuilt. And he cursed anybody who would rebuild Jericho. And he said, in the event that any person would ever go forward and rebuild Jericho, his children will die over it. His first child will die when he begins construction, and his last child will die at the end of construction. Now, books later, it happens. At the very end of the 16th parak, Parak Tazayin of Malachim Aleph, says, "B'yamav banachiyal beis ha'eri es yericho, ba'aviram b'charo yisda, u'besgiv tziro hitziv d'oseh k'dvar adnoy esher dibe b'yad Yoshua ben Nun." A guy, actually this fellow named Chiel, decided that this would be a great project. He's going to rebuild the Yericho, and in fact, as promised, as God said, all of his children die. Our next parak, according to the Medrash, opens up with the Shiva house of Chiel Beis Ha'eli. Very interesting that even though this fellow clearly wasn't the most religious guy ever, he's sitting Shiva. And Hashem goes and he sends a message to Eliyahu HaNavi, who we have not yet met. He tells him, "I want you to go make a Shiva visit." So we start with the Gemara in Sanhedrin, number one on the sheet. Achav shushvina hava also ihu v'eliyahu mishal b'shom b'tamya. Yosakoma dimle ki malat Yoshua hachirat. So they're sitting here. He shows up at the Shiva visit. And who's there? Your friend and mine?
King Achav.
King Achav. Go figure, huh? Right, because Eliyahu is a Navi in the northern kingdom. So they show up together, and Achav, who's not a good fellow, as we are aware of, is sitting back there, and he's not buying this whole curse thing. You know, come on. He said, did he really say, Lo Yericha al Shem Yiracheres, Lo Yiracheres al Shem Yericha, Amar Eliyahu in? He said, you think really that this guy's lost all of his children because he rebuilt Jericho? Yeah, Eliyahu says, I think so. Amway Hasha Ravta de Moshe Lo Kamakaiva, the Xiv Sartava Vadatem, Xiv Choraf Hashem Bachem Vatsaras Hashemaim, Bahu Gavra Okinle Avodazara called Tilam Vatilam, Beloshovicle Mitra the Mazel Meskele. So he says, really? You think these curses work? Yoshua's Rebbe was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu in his Torah says that if you ovate Avodah Zarah, we just read it in Maariv, what's going to happen? It's not going to rain. Guess what? I'm doing Avodah Zarah day in and day out, and here's my umbrella. So I'm supposed to believe that these curses work? So he said, Rav said to Yeshua, Talmidei Mekayma, Moshe's don't, but Yeshua's does. Miyad vayom elyo, atishbi mitoshve gilad, chai Hashem ke Yisrael, im yeh talu matar. Right there, Yeshua, Elio says, you know what? You got a good point. No more rain. What happened? He got his hands on the key. We'll see what these keys are. To rain, that God usually controls the keys. But Elio gets his hand on the key and says, I am holding the keys to rain. As long as I'm holding the keys, there's going to be no more rain here.
Umbrella away.
That's it. We got good news. Sunny skies as far as the eyes can see. That's the background to this parak. So we start in Pasuk Aleph. Vayom Eliyahu Atishmi Mitoshve Gilad Al Achav. Chai Adonai Elohei Yisrael Asher Amati Lefanov Im Yeh Hashonim Ha'era Talo Mater Kim Refi Dvari. I hereby swear that there will not be any rain here until I agree to it. Now that's quite a trick for a guy who we've never met before. This is Eliyahu's first appearance in Tanakh. We have no idea who he is. A little background, a few questions here which we'd like to deal with. One is, what Shevet is he from? Where did he come from? Who is this guy? So we know that he's Eliyahu HaTishbi Mitoshve Gilad. So, Toshve Gilad, what's Gilad? What part of Israel is that? That's Eber HaYarden. So that's, if we assume that, if the fact that he's from Toshve Gilad, that would indicate that he's...
Maybe Reuben, God, or Manasseh.
Or Manasseh, right? Right, that would be that. HaTishbi, what is the word HaTishbi? We always say, Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, Eliyahu HaGilad. What does the word Tishbi mean? So let's figure out what that...
You like the wine.
Shlomo, I sometimes wonder why we have you here, and then you never fail to add something important to the discussion. So first things first, what's the story with these keys? So if you look at the Gemara in Tainus, that Beis of an Alf, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shloshe Mavteches B'Yoshal Karsh Baruch Hu Shlo Nimsio B'Yad Shliach. There are three keys that God himself holds that he does not give over to anyone else. Elohim, Mavteach Shal Gishamim, Mavteach Shal Chaya, Umavteach Shal Tchias HaMesim. The key to rain, the key to birth, and the key to Tchias HaMesim, those stay right on God's keychain. He doesn't lend them out. Tosfos says, wait a second. Never lends them out? What just happened in Sanhedrin? I don't want to ruin anything, but he's going to get another key later also. Doesn't mean that who never gives them out. That God, it's not a case where he has some angel that takes care of the weather. He likes doing the weather himself. But there were occasions where he gave it out. Okay, so this is a very rare occasion. Somehow or another, Eliyahu HaNavi gets his hands on the keys and he says, Achav, that's it. No rain for you. The Medrash tries to figure out who is this Eliyahu guy. Never met him before. Medrash says, Eliyahu Mishalmi. What Shevet did Eliyahu come from? Tamach Okes. Reb Lezer Omer Mishal Binyamin. He's a descendant of Binyamin. Where that comes to Ksiv? V'yarseh ve'Eliyahu v'zichri b'nei Yeruchim kol er b'nei Binyamin. If you look in Divrei Hayamim, there's an Eliyah there, and that Eliyah seems to be him. Rav Narai Omer Mishal Gad Hayu. No, he's from Gad. Since it says he's from Gilad, Gilad only left us three possibilities. Binyamin's not one of them. So Narai has a tradition of Gilad. Pam. So the Medrash always is fun, but this one's a particularly entertaining one. Pam achas nechaku rabbeinu b'davar. There once was a machokas. Eilu amim mishal God. Ve'eilu amim mishal Binyamin. Some people say he's from God. Other people say he's from Binyamin. Bav amar lefneim.
Shows up.
Shows up.
Let me clear.
Amar rabbeinu. Ma atem nechakim alai. What's this machokas? Ani b'nei b'nei shel Rachel ani. I am a descendant of Rachel. Binyamin is the son of Rachel, correct. As opposed to God is the son of Leah, right. So that's just so it's a machokas where Eliyahu is, what Shevet he's from. According to one opinion, it's Binyamin. According to the other opinion, it's God. Eliyahu himself holds that he's from...
But neither of them says Levi.
What?
So neither of them is Levi.
So that is correct. So that's the next source. Wait a second. If Eliyahu is Pinchas, then he's not from God, and he's not from Binyamin. That's not one of the choices. So where did that idea come from? That's the Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says, "Ashkechei Rabba Barul Yel Dekar Beveisa Klaros Al Shon Nachum." One time, this Eliyahu, he's everywhere, right? So he bumps into, where is he? He's in a non-Jewish cemetery. Amalei Rav Kohen Humar. So wait a second, what are you doing in a cemetery? Aren't you a Kohen? Shouldn't you be doing the Pigeon of Bain or something? My time, Kai Mar Beveisa Klaros. What are you doing in a Beveisa Klaros? Amalei. He said, the answer is, it's not a Jewish cemetery. It's not a Jewish cemetery. It's not a problem. Is that true? So again, when a Kohen cannot be metame to a non-Jew through maga or masa. He can't touch it. He can't carry a dead non-Jew. However, there's no tumas ohel. So assuming he's not touching, that's what his answer was. Therefore, that's why I'm allowed to be here. So Eliyahu did not answer. He said to him, aren't you a Kohen? He didn't turn around and say, no, actually, I'm not. Which would have been a better answer, you'd imagine. But he seems to be going along with it, which means that Eliyahu is saying that he, in fact, is a Kohen. That would make him from Shevet. Which is not one of the sons of Rachel. Right? So we have an interesting machlokas of where is Eliyahu from, and it's a machlokas between Eliyahu himself and Eliyahu himself. This is one of the odder machlokas is. This idea that in fact he is a Kohen, Totosa says, where did that come from? I thought the only two choices that I had were Binyamin and God. And we've now covered a quarter of the Shratim. So how did that work? So he says, "Nipshus b'tshuvas gavin shekasov sheyes b'seder Eliyahu rabba shnechu olav yesh omim shahaya b'bnei b'nei shal Leah." So Tosus quotes the Medrash. Some people say he's from Leah. V'amohem eini elam izara shal Rachel, but he says he's from Rachel. Vim came lo haya kohen. So Tosus himself is very bothered by this. How does the Medrash work with the Gemara? Bekan Omar Shekohen Haya, Messiah Hassam, Amaro, Tain Simulad Varecha, Amohem, Kain Kosu, Yuchso Shal Binyamim, the Yarsel Viyam, Vizichri Bnei Ruchim. So here's a little bit of a different version. So they said to him, Elio, prove that you're from Binyamin. So I'll prove it. It's a Pasuk in Divrei Yamim. What's the problem here? Amaro, They said to him, wait a second. Later on, we'll see before he brings the kid back to life. I don't want to ruin the story here, but it seems that he takes truma. If you're from the children of Leah, of Rachel, how are you taking truma? V'lo kohen ata. So they're asking him, aren't you a Kohen? Amohem also Tinok Mashiach ben Yosef haya. Said, no, I wasn't taking challah. I was just indicating something, that that kid's going to be Mashiach ben Yosef. And hine anochi shaleach lechem, es Eliya hanavi, lifnei vel yom Hashem agol v'anora. I'm just indicating that before that kid comes, I come. That's all what I'm saying. He said, I wasn't taking challah. So Eliyahu himself denies it. So the Medrash is so clear that Eliyahu says that he's the descendant of Binyamin, he's the descendant of Rachel, and he's most definitely not a Kohen. How does the Gemara have this tradition that he says, yeah, sure, I'm a Kohen? But also, Tshuva, maybe Nami heard the
just
Gemara.
He's taking the Trumah to teach us that he's going to come before the Sheikh ben Yosef. Doesn't mean that he's not a Kohen.
Yeah, but he said he's not a Kohen. He says he's not a Kohen. They said, what do you mean not a Kohen? Aren't you taking challah?
Maybe just in the graveyard, he didn't want to embarrass the ignorant guy who thought he was a Kohen, so he just didn't say anything else.
No, instead he said
so. But he says he's from Rocha, so that's the big thing. He says he's descended from Rocha.
Right. So it's... So Tosfos says this is a tricky one. Regaras minay shemesadron lebal chov kamosh regaras rabbi yitzchak v'chiv reishis rabba gavim v'tomer leya ba god nechakur av narahay amad eliyahu migod v'vazim v'mishal ben yamin v'amar v'fneim v'amar v'hem v'bosei v'amar atem nechakim aray and even ben erushal rachel. So it's very interesting. The reason I bring this up is it gives us an idea of how little we know about Eliyahu. Eliyahu just appears. There is no background. There is no Hashem calling out to Eliyahu and saying, you know, I want you to be a Navi. Right? He just plops down. We have almost no idea where he comes from. Right? A full quarter of the Shvatim are still in the running for this. Right? Obviously, as the question was, if you tell me that he's Pinchas, he's got to be a Levi. But he seems... We have not yet explained the word Tishbi, right? So Tishbi, by the way, the symbol is it's the name of the city he was from, but we don't know where that city is. So at the end of the day, it's very odd because, yes, there are many Nevi'im out there that we don't hear a lot about, but they are what are referred to, probably improperly, as minor Nevi'im. You call Eliyahu Navi whatever you want. The man was not a minor Navi. He's in terms of major Nevi'im, he's pretty high up there.
Well, if he is Pinchas, was there Nevi'im at that point yet? I think Moshe was, after Moshe, that's when then...
Oh, yeah, you want to know what Pinchas was in Avi? Is that your question?
Yeah.
So again, there's nothing...
I think the Nevi'im only started after Moshe passed away, no?
I don't
think
so. Again, was Avram... No, I mean, we had plenty of Nevi'im, that's for sure. Achia Shironi, I've got here, I've got...
Right, but did they officially have...
I got Avraham, I got Yitzchak, I got Yaakov.
As long as Moshe was alive, did they have their titles as Nevi'im? Or did they only become Nevi'im
officially? I don't know if it's an official title or anything.
Were they viewed as what? Nevi'im before that?
I mean, yeah, Phil Scholl was with the Nevi'im. So again, there definitely is the concept out there. But it's surprising... You know, how little we know about Eliyahu. We don't know how he... Elisha, we're going to see him get appointed eventually when he takes over for Eliyahu. But Eliyahu remains very mysterious. He just plops in one day and somehow or another he gets his hands on the keys that no one else ever managed to do. Let's read on a little more. Vehidvar Adonai Elav Lemor. So Hashem talks to Eliyahu, and he says, "Lech mizeh fanisa lecha kedma v'nistarta v'nachol kris asher al pnei ha'yarden." He says, "I want you to walk to this place by the Jordan. That's where you should hide." Now, why is he hiding? He's hiding because Achav and his wife really are not into this Navi thing, meaning that they're killing them all. So he tells him that's where you should hide. You're going to live by the Jordan. There'll be water there for you to drink. What are you going to eat? You're going to get takeout. The ravens are going to deliver to you food. In fact, that's Rashi and Noach. I'll just point out in number 7. Right? Ad Yavosha Samayim, if you remember in Noah, originally Noah sends out
the ravens.
The raven doesn't do anything. Okay, we'll trade you for the doves. Was Rashi said, Ad Yavosha Samayim? She says, so he flew out until it dried out. So what does that mean? So Pshuto Kamashmo. Simply it means that he wanted him to be out there until to indicate, by the way, you can open the doors. There's no more water down there. Avol medrash agad the muchan haya oriv reshlichus acheres, that the orov was saved for another job. Ba'atzius keshamir b'nei Eliyahu shnemar va'orvim mevir olechem avasa. Said ad yavoksha samayim until Eliyahu. He said you're not going to have a job until what? Until the water stops coming. When's the water going to stop? In the time of Eliyahu, and that's why they get sent here. Okay. This is an interesting question, where were the ravens getting the food from? What? So the Gemara in Chua tells us, in fact, that I'm getting my tuition dollars worth. And it says, the Gemara in Chua says, Va'orvim mivim alechem basar v'aboker v'alechem basar v'arev. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, v'ibet tavchi da'achav. Achav wants to kill him. Not only is he hiding from him, but chutzpah, he's eating his food. So wait a second. Would you trust Achav's hashkacha? That's what the Gemara asks. Wait a second. How is he allowed to eat that? Food's coming from Achav. That's probably not a good thing. So it says, Al pi hadibur shani. No. God says it was under God's hashkacha. God said you can eat this. Don't worry about it. What?
He had the fruit platter.
That's right.
Noach didn't keep the mitzvah.
Fish.
Did Noach keep the mitzvah?
What?
Did Noach keep the mitzvah?
What's Noach? This has nothing to do with Noach. Noach was not eating from Achav. I think your history is a little confused here.
Yeah, sorry.
Right.
Brought the food back from Achav.
What? The ravens brought to Eliyahu. Eliyahu was in Achav's hashkacha at this point. So my arvim. So what does it mean? The arvim, Maravina arvim mamish. Said it meant ravens. So what do you mean? What does arvim mean? Arvim is arvim. That's what it means. Amalei Rav Ader ba Minyomi v'dilma trade gavri dahavi shemayu arvim. Maybe there was two guys named arvim. Maybe there weren't any ravens here. They were the mashkichim. Don't we see that in Shofta that people that have that name? That's not happening. That's not really the answer. The next two. Right. I remember. It's delivery. The delivery boys have to guarantee the kashrus. I remember one time I was on a din Torah in the Beis Din, and it was already 10, 11 o'clock at night, and we had in David Marav. And between the dayanim and the parties and the lawyers, etc., we had 9. So, what are you going to do this late at night? So we called up Mendy's. We said, we'd like to order dinner, and we'd like you please to send with it, let the delivery guy be a male Jew above the age of a bar mitzvah. Right? We were relying on the delivery boy. Don't say, okay. We tipped him well to sit to sit through Marav. So yeah, the word Orev does means guarantor, but it's unlikely. There's a machlokas between Rashi and the Ritva. If you want to look at it, I put it there, but it's not really that related to us. What it says, in fact, is that what does it mean that God Al pi dibur? Does it mean al pi dibur that Hashem said to him, listen, you're starving, you eat this food? Or does it mean I'll make sure that the food in his house is kosher? Now, what are the odds that the food by Achav is kosher? You would think less than likely until you consider who was in charge of Achav's house. Ovadia. And Ovadia was actually in charge of, was in charge of, was the chief of staff there. So again, Rashi seems to indicate that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, you can eat it, as opposed to the Ritva says, no. Actually, he made sure that Avadya kept everything kosher, and there's a little bit of a discussion about that. Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to go there, you're going to get deliveries, food fit for a king, I tell you. Okay. It's living good. It's getting bread and meat in the morning. It's getting burgers in the evening. It gets the buns and the burgers. Eventually, if there's no rain coming down, the creek dries up. So now if nobody has water, neither does Eliyahu. We're going to move you. We have someone else who's going to take care of you. Where are you going to go? You're going to go to Tzarfat, which is near Sidon. Where's Sidon? Lebanon. Right? So Sidon, even though it's technically is part of Eretz Yisrael. Right? So he's in the northern kingdom. He goes up there.
The Tishbe factory there, as I know, going back to that, is up way up north.
Okay. So
that's what I'm saying, it's direction.
It's Zikron Yaakov.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Or Benjamin around there.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
All
right, so that's what he's going to do.
Vayakam
vayerach tzarfata vayavar al pesach ha'ir v'nei shav isha almana mikosh esha seitziv v'yikra elel v'yomer k'chi nori ma'at mayim v'chi v'yashter. So he goes, he finds this woman, and he said, you can't little water for me. Vatelech ha'kachas v'yikra elel v'yomer k'chi nori pas lechem v'yodech. And he says, also, give me the bread that you have. So the woman says, listen, buddy, I don't really know who you are. So listen, buddy, I'd love to help you here, but I don't actually have any loaf of breads. I've got a little bit of flour. I've got a little bit of oil. I'm gathering here two sticks. I'm going to make a little fire. I'm going to bake whatever bread I have. And with that, this is our last meal. Me and my son will probably die of starvation. Now, who's responsible for this famine and drought?
Eliyahu.
Right. So here he is. So basically, she's saying to him, you know, you want my food. That's what you're asking for.
Ach, asiri misham uga katana barishana vatesiri varach vavenech vatasi vachrona.
So this is what we mentioned earlier. He said, yeah, don't worry about it. Do it. Just give me a little bit first, and then you guys can have the rest. So why is he doing that? So one opinion was the reason for this was because of he was a Kohen, he was taking challah, or this is some sort of remez to what's going to be later on in history.
Because
don't worry, because this amount of oil you have will keep on flowing. And the amount of flour you have will remain until the rain start again. Don't worry, you're not starving, you're doing great. And in fact, based on this, little bit, they were able to eat for days on end. So this fellow, now this is very interesting. Eliyahu, did Akash Baruch Hu tell him to say this to the woman? We have no indication of that. Says that this Eliyahu is able to perform miracles, and he's quite confident in them. There's no real doubt that it's going to work.
And he says, "Ki ko amar Hashem lo-geish."
Right, but we don't have any indication. So, it's a very interesting, and it works. You can't argue with success at the end of the day.
that somehow or another, that this Eliyahu guy has power, almost, shall we say, over God. Somehow he's got the keys from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How that happened, we don't really know. But he showed up, Achav made a comment, it really ticked him off. And with that, I'll show you, I got the keys now, no rain. And with that, he's bringing the entire nation to its knees. Right? It seems from here that people are just dying of starvation in the street because Eliyahu is holding on to the key and he's not letting it rain. And there's nothing God can do about it. And not only that, but then Eliyahu's sitting around and says, okay, you're going to get all the food you need. And that happens.
Well, supposedly he's doing it at the behest of the
Christian. Obviously, again, we're not accusing him of being a bad guy. But he seems to have a position or a relationship above and beyond your typical Navi. We know very little about him, but he seems to have a tremendous amount of power here. There are some notable midrashim here. We'll do number 11 and 12. Start with the Bamidbar Rabbah. It's around this time of year. So he talks about it, says how great some animals are, threw this in as it is related to Shir last week. He talks about that there are some special animals that Eliyahu has a relationship with. One is a cow from Har Carmel, who we'll get to know probably next week or shortly thereafter. He points out that those are the ravens. So actually the Medrash is of the opinion that the ravens themselves were smart enough to know what was kosher or not. Okay, good. We should hire them. Work for the Vod. The next Medrash is related to what we're doing now. V'himi kitz arim yoma yiftach noach. So if you remember, when it says that Noah opened up, what did he open? So if you remember, there's a machokas at one point, is there a window? So the Medrash is saying, this indicates that there is a window that he sent the raven out of. Goes and he quotes a pasuk. Vayetze yashtzov v'shov, Rav Yudah m'shem Rav Yudah b'Rav Simon, according to this, the raven actually started telling off Noah. He said, is no one better you can send to me? You got so many birds here. Why am I being sent out first? Noah says, because I don't care what happens to you. You're a raven. You're not kosher. We can't eat you. You can't bring you as a carbon.
You're expendable.
Nevermore, I say. Right? We can do without you. Mm-hmm. So, that's what Noah says. You're at the bottom. Rabrachi b'shem Rabbi Abba bar Kano, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kibru sh'asa ha'olam l'istarachoch. He said, he'll be worth something in the end, this raven. Amaro eimasai, amaro ad yavosha samayim me'al ha'aretz. Asit tzadik echad ramo li'avish ha'olam. There's going to be a tzaddik who's going to go dry out the world. Now, that's an interesting use of words. Right? What does that mean? It doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to be a shliach. It sounds like the person responsible for this is Eliyahu. That's what we keep on seeing. God wasn't necessarily on board with this. And still, Eliyahu's got complete control. Akedas Yitzchak has an interesting comment about the fact that Eliyahu took first. He, worthwhile read if you get a chance to, discusses how this relates to the question of two people traveling through the desert with one canteen of water. The fact that, really, halachically, the woman should have said to him, no way, you're not getting anything from me. So why exactly? Okay. Who was the son? Number 14. Who is this woman? Imo Shel Yona. which means that this kid is Yonah. What? Well, she only has one son, as far as I can say.
The one who falls sick, is that what you're talking about?
I don't want to ruin. What?
Oh,
oh, good point. Hold on to that. But there's other possibilities yet to come. So, okay, so what happens here? So this is a special family. He goes, and now they're living off of this bread. Everything seems to be good until the well-known story, which happens at the end of this parak. This kid, who's either Yonah or Eliyahu or Mashiach ben Yosef, there's nothing that tells us that Yonah isn't Mashiach ben Yosef, gets ill. How ill does he get?
Very.
Is that your medical opinion? So again, it says what?
Chazak mostly.
No, more than that.
Adashel
no sobo neshama.
Dead.
That mostly sounds dead. What?
Completely dead. Mostly dead.
Pretty darn dead. It sounds dead. It doesn't say that he's dead.
Oh.
What?
When the neshama goes out, what is it defined?
Dr. Jacobs is a big chassid of the Princess Bride. We'll discuss that later. If I can quote Edgar Allan Poe, he can quote the Princess Bride.
Inconceivable. It's inconceivable.
We're all going to be going afterwards to the Jacob's basement to watch
the Princess Bride.
Followed by the Frisco Kid, which always has to be part of the double feature. Fatoma lo yo, ma li volach isherim bas erai rahaskes avanil hamases b'ni. Who does she blame this on, the death of the child? She blames it on Eliyahu. He said, what did you do here? Because you're here, now God remembered my sins. Now my son's dead.
She was very nice. She gave the food, she gave the water.
Right, so she says, like, what kind of business is this? Here, you know, right? She seems to be, here we're going through a... Through a drought, we're going through a famine, and she's giving for whatever little bit she has him. Now my son is dead. This is how you say thank you? So he says, give me the kid.
Well, tell me again on what rationale she blamed him.
So, if you take a look, let's go to number 16. It says, that there is an issur for a Talmud Chacham to be living in the same area as an almana. What's going to happen? Rumors are going to start.
Wait, could you explain that again?
So the idea is, she is a widow. Right? She does not have a husband. There's this guy living with her. So even if nothing happens, it does not look good. That's what the Rambam says. And the Pirkei de Rabbi Ezra, number 15, applies it to this case very clearly. So that's what the Medrash is saying. That was her claim. You came, I had no choice. You moved in here. Now rumors started. And that's it.
Because then my son died.
Doesn't God know that the rumors aren't true?
So God knows the rumors aren't true. Yeah. That is correct. And
that's why it says, like the soul left. It wasn't that literally died, but it was. Well, it was like
so I was close. I was careful with the words. There's twice it says. One is that the neshama packed out, right?
Yeah, in pasuk it's
right. Adashem was, and then she says, "What do you do? Lehamis esbini."
A spiritual death. He's not. No, yeah, I know you're lying.
If I was a Kohen, I would get my spiritual tail out of there.
No, my point is the minute there's rumors going around, and it's affecting this.
Well, he is a Kohen.
That's a good question. Well, he's maybe a Kohen.
You mean why can he handle the dead body?
Right. We're going to have to discuss it. That ends up being a very important.
He wasn't completely dead. He's mostly dead.
He's in a deep coma. It's like he died. Mother won't necessarily know the difference.
Well, again, we have again, we have every reason to believe, for sure at this point, the kid's dead. But even then, the clear indication is that he's dead, right? His soul has left him. She said, "You killed my son," right? There is no reason that I, on my own, would have believed anything other than he's suffering from a severe case of death. Right? That's what it seems to be. Right? Now, Jenny correctly asks, so, but why did Akash Baruch Hu do this? Based on rumors? That's what she thinks. So, no. You look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, God had a trick up his sleeve. What happens now? Eliyahu looks terrible at this point. Right? Here, this woman has done such a great chesed for him, and now he's this all-powerful Navi, and the kid dies on his watch. What does Eliyahu have to do now? He's got to make it right. How is he going to make it right?
He's going to revive the kid.
How is he going to bring the kid back to life?
With God's help.
What?
The key.
He needs a key. Goes to Kosh Baruch, says, "I need a key." He said, "You need a key, I need a key. Let's swap." HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns around to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kills off the kid in order to get his key back.
The rain key?
The rain key. Because the entire country is in terrible shape because...
Why does Hashem need a key? He could do that as just like that. The Frisco kid says.
Mm-hmm. So let's look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us there's no more rain. Cave in the chaza, the ika tsara ba'alma. So Kosh Baruch says, this is terrible. Okay, I'm moving you to this whole move, Kosh Baruch, this was the end game. Eliyahu prays, please give me the key of Tchias HaBeisim. There are three keys that aren't given out. Shel Chaya, birth, Shel Geshabim, rain, v'shel Tchias HaBeisim. I'm bringing people back to life. Now how's this going to look when you get two keys and I only got one key? Huh, Leo? Don't you think that's going to be a little embarrassing? I still have a shakil high. So, okay, let's trade. Diksiv lech hera al-achav et nemotar. Because now HaKadosh Baruch Hu can fix the problem of the drought. But it's amazing that God feels it necessary to negotiate with Eliyahu. Right? Right, couldn't he strike down Eliyahu? Right? Wouldn't that seem to be a reasonable approach? Right? So, all right, Eliyahu.
Smith, get a new key.
Right? And change the locks on the whole thing. So that's unbelievable. So what does he do? So in fact, you see that the power of Eliyahu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a good move. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu dries out the creek, so he's got to move in with this woman. Now he sets it up that Eliyahu looks terrible if he can't bring the kid back. And the only way he can do that is by giving back his keys. Yeah, well, so how did the first one go down? The Eliyahu just walked in and said, "Dad, can I borrow the keys?" It was one of those classic lines. So what, you know the end of the story, but let's read it anyhow to finish the parak, which I'll just go a little bit off on a tangent because it's that important. So he says, "You test, give me the kid." Vayikra Adonai v'yamar Adonai Elohai Hagam Alamana Ashani Misgorer Imah Hareyosa Lamisas Bina. Kosh Baruch Hu, how could you do this? This is unbelievable. This woman was a tzaddikas. Look what she did for me. They're going to kill her son, her only son. Now, again, Tashavna Nefesh Hayelad sounds like he's dead. If that's it, the Gemara, which says he needs the key to Tchias HaMesim,
sounds like he's dead.
That's like a slam dunk. Vayishma Adonai b'kol yov v'toshav nefesh hayered al kir bo vayechi. And with that, he goes and he gives back his nefesh. Vayikach hayel as hayel v'aridehu min ha'aliyah ha'baiso v'yitneu le'imo v'yomer yov ichai v'deich. Goes to his mother and says, look who's back. Atomai Isha Yahu Atoze Yadati ki Ishawahim Ata Udvar Bifiha Ms. I'm convinced. So what I wanted to bring out, which we've finished at this point, is the idea of Elio. Right? We know so little about him. He is so powerful. It's an amazing story, right? We'll work more on his personality going forward. However, going back to the question of his kahuna, that raises some issues here. Tosfos in number 18, Armalei Rav Kohen Ata, same Gemara as before, he says, aren't you a Kohen? Tosfos, table a Ri. The Ri wants to know. Hech hechia benosha almana, kim she Kohen haya? If the kid was dead, how did he take the kid?
You can't say he was a goy. You can't say I didn't touch him.
Right.
I didn't lift him up.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, do we know he touched him?
Yeah.
He laid on top.
But before he held him, right? He carried the kid upstairs.
Right?
So, Vayismodin al hayelad v'yesh romer shehaya borolo sheyichya rakachaya mutter mishum pikuach nefesh. Because he was sure he was going to pull this off, which is, again, he definitely has that confidence, does not lack of that. Therefore, it was pikuach nefesh. That line in Tosos bothers a lot of people. Tell me, a person drops dead in the middle of the street on a Shabbos afternoon, and you know, pulse, in your professional opinion, there's 99.9% chance that this guy will not recover from this. There's a 1 in 1,000 chance that maybe, you know, we'll be able to start the heart again, whatever. Are you Mechal Shabbos for that? Without question. A 1 in 1,000 chance? Avada you do. Pikuach Nefesh? You don't need to be sure. Right? Pikuach Nefesh, it's a long shot, right? You know? A building falls down. It seems everyone's dead. It was a terrorist attack. Do we start bringing the heavy machinery and doing what we can to if there is a survivor?
Yeah,
no matter how unlikely it is. Of course. So what's Tosfos telling me here? How you borrow your sheyichne? Why did he have to be sure about it? Why didn't you just tell me it was Tchiyas HaMesim?
He had to be sure about what?
That he could bring him back.
He was sure that he could bring him back. That's one angle people take on this Tosfos.
Wow.
Right?
It's also a new definition of pikuach nefesh.
Right, that is the second point people make. Usually we assume the guy's dead.
Pikuach nefesh to prevent the death.
Right.
To reverse the death.
Pikuach nefesh is rarely post-mortem.
Right.
But that's why he had to be sure.
Oh.
That's exactly why he had to be sure. Because otherwise, I mean, there's no CPR, there's no defibrillator.
Right. Oh, so what you're saying, which I agree with 100%, I'll say up front, is that why is there no pikuach nefesh in general by dead people?
Because you can't do anything.
Because there's a 0% chance of doing anything about it, right? So that's what Tosfos is saying, is that in general, yeah, once the kid's dead, there's nothing to do. But since he knew, so that reintroduced the idea of pikuach nefesh. I think that's absolutely correct, but that's not how everyone reads it. Right? And that answers both questions. It answers how you have pikuach nefesh after death, and it answers why you had to be sure. Other Rishonim have different approaches. Looking at Tosfos HaRosh, Rav Kohen Nihu Mar, Tema, Ech Nemodet Al Ben Tzfatzis, Ubed Nozer Amin Darfilo Kohen Oso Kariv Kishu Goseis, Shem Al Pia Dibor Haya. He has a different answer. Kosh Baruch Hu said so. Just like those airline meals that the ravens were dropping off, right? Kosh Baruch Hu said so. All right, that's another way to do it. Rabbeinu Bachya, in this week's parsha, v'das Chazal ki Pinchas Eliyahu. V'manu oso mimad omer bav metziya aschei rabba baravu Eliyahu dehavi v'beis akoros. Shel Akum. So where does that come from? Well, that comes from the same Gemara. The fact, why would they think he's a Kohen? He thought he was a Kohen because he was Pinchas. So he comes up with the answer which you thought they would never say. He said, who said that this woman was Jewish?
Wait, would that mean
Yonah's
not Jewish?
So you have to say that this is not following the opinion that it's Yonah. So he brought back a non-Jewish kid? That's a big chiddush. So this is actually a major question where the discussion is. That's an excellent question, Rabbeinu Bachya. Right? The question is, even if the kid wasn't Jewish, it's Tumas Maga.
There's three ways that
Tumah can be passed along. One way is if I touch something that's Tumah. Another thing what I can do is, let's say this is Tumah, and I carry it like this. I'm not touching it, but I'm carrying it. So that also can make you Tumah. And the third possibility is if I am in the same room, the same tent, same building as Tumah, I could become Tumah that way as well. When it comes to, so if there's a dead body, right, in the same building as I am, I become Tumah. If there is a dead body that I touch, even if we're outdoors, I become Tumah. If I carry something, I'm carrying the casket, I'm outdoors, and I'm not touching it, I become Tumah that way as well. Regarding becoming Tumah by being in the same building, that only applies to Jews.
Okay.
So a Jewish corpse.
Right, but what about the touching?
But the touching applies as well. It applies whether the person is Jewish or not Jewish. Right? So therefore, it's a strange Rabbeinu Bachya in this week's Parsha, where he says, well, the kid wasn't Jewish. It's unclear how that would have helped anything. The Radvaz, we'll go through it, has a little bit of a longer tshuva on the topic.
What about the opinion that Eliyahu was invisible or was a malach?
There is no such opinion. That's how I deal with it. How do you deal with it?
I guess Pesach Seder's my entire life was right. Making me believe that Eliyahu was a malach.
Right, so again, Eliyahu, I don't want to ruin the ending, but at some point, Eliyahu gets taken out of the picture. At that point, when he was at the Goldberg Bris this morning, when he slides down the chimney and comes to your Seder, right? that's a different story, right? But at this point, Eliyahu is a real
person.
Real person, yeah. Real solid person. It's getting a little late. There's an interesting red vase that I left here. The reason I spent a little time on this, even though this isn't necessarily related to the Eliyahu, who he was, is because this is the basis of Rabbi Tendler's opinion regarding organ transplants. Rabbi Tendler defines death as something that's not reversible. And his proof is this Tosas. He reads Tosas as saying that because he was sure he could reverse it, that meant that he wasn't dead. That in fact the child was not dead because as long as something can be reversed, then you're not dead. The definition of death is
irreversible.
Right? That's how he answers the question. That's a tough one. I think that Yitzhak's answer really makes a lot more sense. It answers all the questions in a much simpler way. But this discussion as what Eliyahu is actually doing, lying on a dead kid, there are different approaches to it. But the Tosos approach, there are different ways of reading it, but I think the simple way is the way that it was read. Okay, we'll continue next week.